It's so good to be here today, worshiping the Lord and praising His name. Good to see you. I trust that you'll have a good day today in Christ and that you'll enjoy your family on this very special occasion. If you're here today and you are a mother, a special welcome to you. You are a special individual indeed. And I hope there are those around you that will remind you of how special you are to them today. If you'll open your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 23. I'm going to read in a few minutes from Matthew chapter 23. But before I do, I'd like to read an article I took out of a newspaper that was published about 10 years ago. And would you listen to it, please? I admired Henry. To be more honest, I must admit I was jealous. I was not really jealous of all the toys and games he had, and he had more than anyone I knew. I was not jealous of his new Schwinn with its clean white wall tires and his siren that worked when you pulled a string and made it engage the front wheel. I was not even jealous of the fact that he had his own room. However, there was one thing Henry had that I wish I had. Henry had his own key to the front door of his house. It was a flat brass key. He wore it on a chain around his neck, and it would be tucked under his shirt until he came home from school each day. I can still see him now. We were both 10 years old, but that key gave him a certain maturity and respect that goes along with having a key to the front door of your house. We would stop off at his house after school during our lunch hour to get a baseball or a bat or something. He would walk right up to the front door, stick his hand down his neck and pull out the chain and the big brass key. Both Henry's parents worked. His older brothers were grown and away in the Navy. We, therefore, would always enter an empty house. My own house was so noisy, it seemed, with my brother and sister and our German Shepherd Colonel. And Henry's house was always neat. His mother had knickknacks and lace doilies everywhere. His house never looked lived in like ours. Not only was his house always neat, Henry was neat. I never saw him with a hole in his sneakers like the rest of the kids I knew. And like Richie, who always seemed to have a toe peeking through his worn-out PF Flyers. But the thing that impressed me most about Henry was that key. When I asked my mother if I could have a key like Henry's, she responded with surprise, "What in the world for? I was told I didn't need one." And that made me all the more jealous of that big brass key. As I now look back on that scene some 35 years later, I thank God I did not have nor need a key. My mom was always there when we children came home from school. Her presence filled the house with a certain unexplainable happiness that comes with security. There would be a glass of milk and graham crackers waiting for us, hot chocolate and toast in the winter. And there was noise, lots of noise. There was laughter and tears, but most important, there was life. There was never an abundance of things, but we never went without necessities. There was more, though. It was not spoken of such, and I was not able to put my finger on it then. There was love. There came a day when Mom would go out into the working world, but it waited until we were older. Mom felt she had a job caring for her family. In these days, some may snicker at the thought of a mother giving up a career and a fortune to heat hot chocolate or to dry snow-soaked clothing over steaming radiators on a winter day. I know times have changed. I know that there are daycare centers and all kinds of substitutes and surrogates. But I would like to sing an ode of praise to my mother, who was there. Hers was a thankless, glamorless job, hard and perhaps unrewarding in many ways. But as I look back, maybe Henry was not so lucky after all. It is only now, so many years later, after being grown with a family of my own, that I realized that my mother had given me a key all along. It was fashioned on the anvil of sacrifice and dedication. It is a key that has opened many a locked door in my lifetime. It was not made of brass, but to me it was more valuable than gold. She gave me a key, not to wear around my neck, but to carry in my heart. She gave me love. That's a newspaper article about my mother 10 years ago when she died. I think of my mother on a day like today, and if I could go and have lunch with her, you better believe it, I'd be there. If I could call her on the phone, I would ring her up and tell her that she meant so much to me. If you have an opportunity today to put your arms around your mother, do so. Or to call. Oh, that you would. Maybe you're the prodigal son. You need to go home and tell your mother that you love her. Matthew chapter 23, verse number 37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Let's pray. Father, bless these minutes that we spend in thy word. May they minister to the heart of every hearer. Each is different, and each has a different need. And I pray that the Holy Spirit might make the application. I pray, dear Lord, if there's someone here today who knows not Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and the joy of sins forgiven, that they might come to know that even before they leave today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here in verse 37 of chapter 23 of Matthew, we have a lamentation. It is a pitiful and a sad refrain. It has in its very words a brokenness of heart. For these are the words of the Lord Jesus spoken to a people that rejected him. Not spoken in anger, not spoken in hatred or in rage, but spoken in pity and in love. Even as he stood in the shadow of the cross before a people to whom he outstretched his arms and opened his heart. He stood over the city that was the apple of God's eye, and he lamented. And here we see more than a lamentation, for in the midst of this is couched a metaphor, I believe, about a greater love than this world can ever imagine. First, mother love. Jesus said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophets and killest them that are sent unto thee, how often I would have gathered thee as a mother hen gathers her biddies under her wing, and ye would not. Oh, if you could just contemplate and meditate and think about this morning, mother love. It's the greatest love that this world knows this side of heaven. We oftentimes preach about father love, And we see the father in the story of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, standing looking over the horizon for his son to come home. Father love. And there when he sees his son coming down the road, although he has spent his substance in riotous living, the father comes and embraces him and hugs him about the neck and kisses him. That's father love. He commands the servants to kill the fatted calf, and they celebrate and they make merry. For my son who was dead is now alive. Let us rejoice. That's father love. Father love is there, and he's always looking and waiting for that prodigal to come back home. And that's father love. And that is a tribute and a testimony to the love of God in father love. But the love of God is so great and so vast that it also encompasses something that's called mother love. The father is there, and he looks with a forlorn look down the road. Maybe today is the day he'll come home. But mother love, it lies down in the threshold of the doorway and says, son, don't go. Don't go. If you go, you have to walk over me. I love you so. Don't go. It's mother love. And here we have a pitiful lamentation spoken of by our Lord, spoken to a city that broke his heart. And he says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Here I see a picture this morning of mother love. And I'd like for you to contemplate such a love today. Now, first of all, think about the way of mother love. Nobody can say a name. No one can say your name like your mother said it. There was just something about the way your mother spoke your name. Mother love. Always concerned about the welfare, the safety, and the care of her children. Speaks that name in such a way that the little ears perk up, they stop and they listen. They recognize that voice that speaks that name. And how many times has a mother spoken the name of the one that she gave life to? And no one spoke your name more than your mother. For she called that name 1,000 times a day. Sometimes she said it very loudly so that you would hear it and you'd come. Sometimes she said it very softly as she pulled you to herself and whispered in your ear and told you that she loved you. Sometimes she said your name as she spoke it across the backyard fence, and she spoke it with pride when you went off to the army and to defend your country. She was so proud to speak your name. Sometimes she shared with others your accomplishments and your triumphs, and she spoke your name from the rooftops. No one spoke your name like your mother, spoken in mother love. Sometimes she spoke your name and she shook her head, but she knew you could do better. She knew that you were made for better things. Sometimes she spoke it with a kind of lamentation of her own. Ah, the way of a mother. Mother love. And sometimes perhaps she spoke it with a little disappointment when you didn't do the thing that you should have done. You see, a mother wants what's best for her children. If anyone ever believed in you, she did. If anyone ever had high hopes for you, she did. If anyone ever cared for you, she did. Ah, this world knows no other love that's so great or high, this side of heaven, than mother love. She wants what's best for you. And God wanted what was best for his people, the apple of his eye. He spoke the name of Jerusalem, sometimes with a pride for they were special and peculiar unto God. Sometimes he spoke it loudly, and sometimes he whispered it. But here God speaks the name Jerusalem with a lamentation, and oh, what disappointment and brokenness of heart. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered thee. Like a mother hen gathers her biddies under her wing, and ye would not. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 16, the writer speaks about God not being ashamed to be called our God. Oh, that we would live such lives that we would never cause God embarrassment as we are pointed out as his children living far lower than we were meant to live. But may we always live up to our name. May we always cause God to be pleased. May we always do the pleasure of our Heavenly Father. May we never do something that would cause God to be ashamed to be called our God. Ah. May we never do anything to be causing our mother to be ashamed that she gave us life. Mother love. A child, Proverbs 29 and verse 15, left to himself brings his mother to shame. There's a way of mother's love that is so different and so special. It's a love that speaks our name like no one else has ever spoken it. That's the way of mother's love. Then I see the work of mother's love. How often would I have gathered thee like a mother hen gathers her biddies under her wing. You see, motherhood is more than just the laying of an egg. Yeah, that chicken sits on the egg. And it sits, and it sits, and it sits. And it does the job that a mother is called to do. And when those little biddies come into this world and they're hatched, she cares for them. Ah, that's the work of mother's love. And sometimes that mother hen would, at the risk of her own life, protect those little biddies. It's the work of mother's love. It's even seen in the barnyard. It's the work of mother's love. It's mother's love at work. Mother's love is demonstrated with the care and the labor and the difficulties that mothers endure in order to raise their own. Mother's work is hard work, but mother's work is great work. No mother should ever say, I don't work. That's outrageous. Because there's no greater work in all the world than caring for a life and an eternal soul that God has given. Mother's work is endless. There's always something to do. And all I would say, and I don't want to make anybody feel guilty this morning, but mothers, if at all possible, don't leave that nest too soon. Some little child can come home to an empty house with a brass key is a sad commentary on motherhood. Oh, sometimes there are exceptions, and sometimes great sacrifices have to be made, but even in that, God knows. And you ask God to allow you to care for those that God has given you. There's a bird in nature called the cowbird. It lays its eggs in somebody else's nest and then goes about its business. That's an oddity. That's a strange thing. Stranger still, and your little biddies are being raised in strange nests. And someone else is raising them. If at all possible, care for those as long as you can. That's the work of a mother. Mother love. Third, there's the warmth of mother love. The warmest place in that barnyard was under the wing of the mother hen.
one of the warmest substances known to man is this thing called down. And it's found beneath the wings of the fowls that God has created. We stuff our quilts with them and our comforters with them and our pillows. It's the softest and warmest substance known to man.
And it's under the wing of a mother hen. What a warmth there is in mother love. The warmest place in this old cold world is beneath the arm of and in the embrace of your mother. No little chicken need be cold long as there's a wing of a mother nearby. God bless the mothers who warm their young with attention and affection. Ah, the psalmist compared God to this in Psalm 91 in verse number 4 when he said, of God, he will cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings thou shalt trust. Is this world too cold for you? There's a warm place under the arm of God. Oh, that you might flee there. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. There's room at the cross for you. Have you ever seen those little biddies scurry and run and suddenly disappear under the wings of its mother? You wonder how they all fit there, but they do. There's room for you in the love of God today. Oh, that you might come to him. There's the way of mother's love and the work of mother's love and the warmth of mother's love. And there's the wonder of mother's love. A mother is still a mother, no matter how bad her children might be. That is hard to explain, except it's mother love. When everybody else has turned their back and written you off, when everybody else has forgotten you, mother love never forgets. And though the man be the worst of criminals and is in the state penitentiary for capital murder, and men tremble at the very mention of the person's name, and he is the most loathsome of all the creatures that seem to crawl and slither over the face of the earth, and he is the object of hatred and wrath among all of humanity, there's one that still loves him. Mother love. You can't explain it. Except as A.G. said this morning, she was the one that held that little child close to herself and looked into those little eyes and saw that there was potential. There were possibilities. And when everybody else has given up on you, when everyone else curses you, when everyone else hates you, mother will stand by you. And there is the Lord Jesus hung suspended on the cross, the object of ridicule, mockery, and shame. And the wall of his faithful followers scattered in fear. And his bravest one stood afar off. There at the very foot of the cross of crucifixion stood a woman whose heart beat with a love that the world cannot fathom or understand except to say, as those Roman soldiers must have said, there is mother love. The wonder of mother love, it never gives up. But you know, there's another love that far transcends mother love. It's the love of God. And though you're on death row for crimes that you've committed, about to receive a penalty and a condemnation you deserve, and though all the world would sit and wait for the lights to flicker in the city as an execution is carried out, and although there is not a single soul that loves you, mark it down. God loves you. Until you take your last breath, you have an opportunity to receive that love that He holds out to you. Oh, love that will not let me go. Jerusalem mistreated many that God sent to her. God sent teachers and prophets and witnesses. And they stoned and killed them all. And finally, God would send His only Son, and He said, surely they would receive Him. And they are building a scaffold, and they're building a gallows, and they're about to crucify the Lord of glory. The amazing thing is that God still loves them. Mother's love doesn't give up too easy, does it? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that Mother believed in you and hoped for you? And everybody else said you couldn't do it. She said, I know you can. Try again. There's a greater love than that. It's God love. And though all the world turned against you, God still reaches out to you in God love. The wonder of mother love that never gives up. No matter how bad or stubborn or disobedient you are. And finally we hear the lamentation of Jesus as He weeps over the city that's rejected Him. Not the first time God has cried over His people. In Isaiah chapter 1 and verse number two, we hear again the lamentations of the Heavenly Father. He says, I have brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. A broken heart of God, and yet He keeps on loving, and He keeps on reaching out. Children, there's a greater love than mother love. There's a love of God that reaches out, and it's a wonder that He doesn't give up. But He's still reaching out to somebody here today. Oh, mother love. Then there's the warning of mother love. You see, a mother's job is more than warming. Mother's love is also a job of warning. You see, as the shadow of the hawk sweeps across the barnyard, suddenly the instinct of the mother hen is to cry out and to cackle in such a way that she communicates to her biddies that they're in danger. I don't understand the chicken talk, but those little chickens understand it. And suddenly, as she squawks with a certain fear and anxiety in the tone of that voice, those little biddies come running and they scurry and get under her wings. She saw a shadow sweep across the barnyard, and she knew that they were in danger, and she called out to them and called to them to be careful. That's a warning of mother love. Little biddies that never went to school and never read a book, they could understand the warning, and they flee to the safety of the mother hen and hide under her wings. Prince, in the shadow of the prince of the power of the air, streaks across the sky of this world. You don't see the devil everywhere, but he's all around. And this world is a dirty and a dangerous place. And mothers warn their little ones, for she sees the shadow of the evil one. She knows the awful consequences of sin. And she cries out and she warns with mother's love. And so many times that cry falls on deaf ears as young men and young women go out to their own ruination.
All of the protestations and the weeping and the tears of mothers. The road to hell has many roadblocks. No one goes there easily. You have to climb over fences and walls to get there. Now, I know all are born in sin and all are heading in that direction, but God has put up 1,000 roadblocks. And you have to climb over it to get there. But along the road, no greater roadblock, no greater obstacle, no greater warning. On the road to hell is a mother love. Cries out in war of the folly and the foolishness of sin. And how many young men and how many young women ignore those protestations and climb over mother's love on the way to hell? Tragedy. That people would ignore the warning of mother love. Mothers, warn your children about the wages of sin. The Bible says they're death. The Bible says evil company corrupts good morals. Oh, how the Bible warns about evil activities and evil companionships. And they have been the sermons of mothers down through the years. Oh, that children would listen to those messages from heaven. Listen to the warnings of mother love. Yet if a mother fails to warn her little ones that may be carried away by the wicked one, God Almighty still cries out with the warning of His precious word. Jerusalem, ignore the cries of God. And here Jesus is crying, and He's lamenting over a city that would not heed the warning and was about to enter into the destruction and wrath of heaven. For in 70 AD, the same city that rejected the Savior was under siege by the Roman armies and empire. And the soldiers of Titus breached the walls of the city and tore down every stone. And Jesus predicted it. He said, "Behold, your house is left unto you desolate." How many houses and how many homes have been collapsed in ruin because somebody didn't listen to the warning of mother love? Jerusalem was such a case. Number six, I see the wealth of mother love. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee. Look at it. How often the wealth of mother love. How often? How many times does she have to warn? How many times does she have to plead? How many times does she have to pray? How often? Not once, but countless number of times. And the Bible is one great warning from God. All I can see here is a mother shaking her head and speaking from the depths of a broken heart and saying, how often, how often? And yet children will not listen. Some mothers today want to be a friend instead of a mother. That's the new thing of the 90s. Your children can have lots of friends. They can only have one mother. Be a mother. Sometimes you have to say often. You have to say often. Do right. Do right. Do right. Number seven, we see the weeping of mother's love. Mothers cry when their hearts are broken. Better to see your children cry today than for you to cry tomorrow. Better for you to train up a child in the way he should go now than for you to weep and lament over a broken and a tragic life tomorrow.
the weeping of mother's love. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. And tears must have streamed down the face of God. The weeping of mother's love. And lastly, there's the weakness of mother's love. What do you mean, the weakness of mother's love? Well, a mother can counsel and warn and warm and encourage and pray. And a mother can lay down in the very threshold of the door and say, son, don't go out and do this thing. And that son can step over the very body of his mother in stubbornness and in arrogance. And mother love cannot keep a person out of hell or take him to heaven. All that that mother has done, and all that that mother has prayed, cannot save a single soul. She may come and visit you in jail. Nobody else cares. Nobody else even gives you a thought. Mother will be there. I saw it many times. So I visited in the penitentiaries and visited in the cells in Sing Sing, by the way, some people here from New York. And I would go to see prisoners, and I'd wait in the waiting cells, and there I'd see mothers with little brown bags and things for their sons. Sons that wouldn't listen. Sons that wouldn't heed. Nobody else came. There's a little gray-headed mother. She's got a bag with some things for her son. She comes. She'll visit you. And she'll maybe even appeal to the governor. There's only so high she can go. There's limitations to mother love. But I'm here to tell you that there's a love that's greater than mother love. And that's God love. And oh, let me challenge you today to not believe the lie of the world and the allurements of this generation, but to heed the warning of the Lord Jesus as he cries out over a city, may not cry over your soul. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophets and killest those that were sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thee like a mother hen gathers her babes, and ye would not. The Lord Jesus Christ went on the cross and he died for your sin. And he paid the price for every single one. But we need to turn from those sins and turn to him and go into the arms of the Heavenly Father, who reaches out and embraces all the prodigals that will come home. And maybe that's you today. Salvation is all of God. He does it all. Jesus paid it all on the cross. But man's destruction is all of him. And it's summed up in verse 37 in the last three words. Ye would not. Would you this morning give your heart and life to Jesus Christ? Would you embrace the one who has more than mother love? God love. Don't step over the body of the Lord Jesus and go out into darkness. Let this be the last place you ever reject. May this be the place that you accept. God love. Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. Won't you do that today? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the love that you demonstrated on Calvary. The Lord Jesus lamented over a city. But Father, how greater is the lamentation over a soul. Someone who ignores all the blessings, the benefits, the love, the care, and would not. I pray for those that are here today without Christ. I pray, Lord, that they would somehow have their hearts pierced, have their hearts broken, and they would let this time in their life be the time they stop running from God's love. And I pray, Lord, if there's someone here that's been a prodigal, that today would be the day they would go home. Father, thank you that you have given us an example in this life called mother love. Thank you for those mothers that demonstrate to us a love of God. Go forth with us as we go from this place into this world. May we go in the power of that love, doing thy will and thy purpose. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If someone here this morning would like to talk to me about trusting Christ as their personal Savior, I'd love to speak to you before you leave.